Basketball is like jazz. There's a jazz musician, a guy. God, what's his name? If you know basketball, you know who I mean. Kenny J. God, glad I remember that. People know who he is.
Welcome to Kenny's G League, the only podcast all about the Rip City Remix. In today's episode, we're going to sit down with my friend Catherine, who is a Remix and Blazers super fan, I would say. She has season tickets to the Remix games, and I see her there often. And every time we chat during the game, I just feel like she has some great insight into both what it's like being a fan, but also what she's seeing during the year from the players and the team. And she just always has something interesting to say, so I was very excited to talk to her on this episode. The only news that I'll discuss up top is that the G League season is currently in the finals. It's a best of three series. In game one, former Trailblazer Scalabissiere on the Kings had actually a pretty nice game. He's had a very nice season for them in 28 minutes. He had 18 points, 10 rebounds, a couple blocks as well. One more game tonight, actually, April 11, versus the Magic, and potentially a Game 3, depending on how Game 1 goes. The Magic won Game 1 behind Mac McClung. Mac McClung had, let's see here, 29 points. Myron Gardner had 30 points. We'll see if the Kings can tie it up 1-1 in Game 2 and hopefully get a Game 3. With that said, let's get to our conversation with Catherine. All right, we're joined today with, I'm going to say, Blazers and Remix super fan, Catherine. Catherine sits pretty close to where I sit at the Remix game, so we've kind of gotten to know each other at the games and usually, you know, talk basketball and stuff, so I thought it would be fun to have you on today. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk about the Remix.
Yeah. So I guess to start us out today, you know, I've gotten to talk basketball with you for a couple years now, really. How did you, you know, come to be a fan of the Blazers and basketball in general?
I grew up here in Portland, Oregon. And so, you know, I think that's kind of born into a lot of us. My dad really liked basketball, and he worked for several of the Schnitzer's companies throughout his lifetime. And, you know, they had tickets, and when there was games that they weren't going to, you know, kind of the not so good games, they would, you know, do drawings or whatever for employees. So every once in a while, my dad would get tickets, and I was more interested in basketball than my sister, and I was a little bit older, so I got to go to games whenever he got free tickets, you know, starting probably back in the 1980s.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to see the 80s into the 90s. I'm sure that was like a pretty exciting time. Yes. To become a fan.
Yes, it was. And I remember, you know, in the 80s, I was a young kid, and we would go to the Coliseum. And my dad was very, very frugal and did not waste money. And I remember back in those days, we used to pop popcorn at home. He would put it in a bread bag and then put it under his jacket. And, you know, back then, they didn't really check. There was no metal detectors. There was no real security. You just showed your ticket and you got in. And so I always remembered being a kid. I was like, oh gosh, I want to just buy popcorn at the stadium. You know, we have to pop our popcorn and bring it with us, sneak it in. And I think it's just really funny.
I love that. That's great. That's, I mean, I'll still go to the movies, and I'm not buying popcorn at the movies. I'll sneak in my own snacks.
I totally get it. And then the 89-90 team, the 91 run and the 92 runs, they were, I was in high school. You know,
okay,
I was
cool.
an older child back then, so we were really, really into the Blazers at that time. That was kind of the height of everything. And in fact, when they did the brought back those teams this season to recognize them, I heard Terry Porter talking to Brooke about his memories, and he talked about winning in Phoenix and then flying home, and the airplane pilot telling them to look down, and all the fans that were there at
Really?
Hillsborough State because they flew into Hillsborough, and
Oh,
it was,
really?
you know, a tiny little airport. And I remember my dad got us in the car and he's like, "We're going."
That's
Got the whole
awesome.
family. We all went out there. You know, I mean, it was just a different time back then because there wasn't, you know, there was a fence, but there wasn't a lot of security. And, you know, tons of fans were out there. And they show some of that old footage of all the fans out there. And we're
That's so
out there
cool.
somewhere. So, yeah.
Oh man, that's so cool. I missed that on the broadcast or something. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've been a Blazers fan for quite a while. And then when they, announced that the Blazers were getting a G League team, I'm pretty sure I saw you there at the like the name unveiling,
Yes.
right? Yeah.
Yes.
So
I went
you've been there
there.
literally day one.
I went there day one. Just because it was one of those days I had already taken the day off work. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go. And then I ran into Seth Sheriff, as most people know him. And we ended up sitting together. And all of a sudden, when they announced that it was live, he was buying his seats. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I should buy a ticket. So I don't know that I necessarily went in it with, it was kind of like the excitement and
For
okay,
sure.
I'll try it.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, kind of same. I think it's just like, oh, okay, the tickets are for sale right now. Let's see what that's about. So yeah, what's it kind of been like? I don't know, getting introduced to the G League and kind of all these players that are brand new to us, really, except for maybe one or two here and there. Yeah, what's kind of like the first couple seasons been like just to kind of follow, a different level of basketball?
It's been really interesting to me. I knew nothing about the G League until I watched that movie that Scoot was in. I kind of watched that in preparation for the season, and I actually feel like I need to go back and watch that now that I've gone to games and understand it a bit more. But I had no idea what it was going to be like. I didn't know if I would like the pace of games, or, you know, sort of the tear down from NBA basketball. But the price was right. The tickets we were able to get were good tickets, you know, behind the Remix bench, and thought, okay, I'll try it for a season. If I don't like it, I don't like it, and I won't be back. So I kind of was worried that maybe it would not be all that interesting to me. And I ended up kind of falling in love with the remix.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen you. I think you've been to more games than I have at this point. Like you're there all the time. And one of the cool things about both seasons so far, is you come into the season with like not very much idea of who these guys are, and by the end of the season, you're like, oh, I ended up really being a fan of this person or that guy or whatever, are there any players from this season that have kind of become fan favorites for you?
Yes, I fell in love with Sterling Manley this year. He is just the sweetest, gentle giant. I just really, really came to like him just because he seems like a super nice guy. He was always really good with fans and with little kids. And one thing I noticed about him, The question I have for the remix that I haven't been able to figure out is how do they delegate who has to go out and do the photos with the fans after the game? So for folks that haven't been to a remix game, they usually have two players come out after the game to do photos, and everybody lines up, and you take a picture on your cell phone. They have somebody that'll do it for you, and so it's right on your phone immediately. And they usually bring out, a different combination of guys. In the last two, in the first two seasons, they've never brought out any of the Blazers rookies or the two-way players don't generally come out, although I do think Tajay came out once this season when he was injured and decided to do it. So one of my questions is, how do they decide who comes out? Do the guys want to do it? Do they not want to do it? Is it kind of like not it, not it? Especially after games where they lose, or if it's a tough loss, you can totally just understand guys not wanting to do it. But Sterling did photos more than anybody else this season, and I have to guess that he was the guy that was volunteering and saying, I'll just go do it, because he was there all the time. And you were at the last game of the season, that was, well, the last home game. As the game ended, it was close game. There's a lot of chatter on the court during the game. And then as the guys were going through and high-fiving the other team, a fight broke out. And it was a pretty big fight. Like, a lot of people got brought into the fight. Everything just kind of, it was like, whoa, what's going on? Everybody's out on the court. And so they, took everybody back, got them off the courts. People lined up for their post game pictures. And then after a while, they came out and said, sorry, we're not doing photos this game due to everything that went on, which totally made sense because, the guys were probably amped up after that. So we start to disperse. And like 2 minutes later, Sterling comes out to save the day. He's decided he's going to do photos, and everybody just runs back to get in line. And, he just seems like a big sweetie pie.
Yeah, he does seem like, I mean, off of that kind of stuff, like a really nice guy. And I remember at a couple points during this season, his it's not this isn't an unusual thing really, but like his agent would post highlights from the Remix games of Sterling specifically, and it's like I don't know, I appreciate anyone, including apparently their agent, when it's like, yeah, they're trying to put themselves out there in whatever way they can, whether that's like showing, hey, I'm like the guy that can go take pictures and I'm happy to, or like, here's my agent, he's making sure people know, hey, he had a great game or whatever. It's like, that's, I don't know, I think that's part of kind of the charm of the G League a little bit, is like there's gonna be guys that are out there that are like, I'm putting my best foot forward in whatever ways I can do it, and I don't know, that's kind of unique in professional sports, I guess. There's a lot of like too cool for school stuff in sports. I don't know. It's understandable, if there's young players that are like 18, 19, 20, and they're like trying to be cool. I get it. But also, it can be really fun to just put yourself out there, whoever you might be, if you're the Sterling Manley, or if you're the, I'm trying to think of other players on the team, my guy Isaac Nogues Gonzalez, he did the same thing. It's like he's apparently entering the draft. Maybe he'll, decide to rescind that. I don't know, depending on how workouts go or whatever. But like, same thing there. He was like active on social media, displaying, his games, cheering on his teammates, whatever. I think it's cool. There's a lot of places where you don't see that. So it's really fun.
And Sterling went to college with Nasir Little,
That's right.
and they were buddies.
Yeah,
So,
they got a picture post game one of those times. Yeah, it
that
was
was a
cool.
fun little friendship. And he's somebody that started off very slow, at the beginning of the season. Then he got injured.
Yep.
Kind of, you didn't really, he was just kind of a slow starter. And then by the end of the season, his last couple of months, he
Yeah.
played really well, and he had some high scoring games. He was getting rebounds, dunks, he was really guarding the paint and doing a lot of defensive work. He's a big guy, so I was also just happy that he really improved throughout the season, and you could see, okay, I see what they saw in this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's probably the perfect example of that, really. The Remix center rotation was like a little left a little something to be desired at the beginning of the season, and they kind of figured it out as the season went on. They brought on a couple different guys. Sterling was here since day one, and he kind of, they figured out what their strengths were and stuff, and were able to work on that through the season.
The other thing is, it was interesting how both seasons were quite different from each other. So I kind of thought this season would be a lot like last season, and I'll see if I can articulate it very well. I don't know that I can, but we had a lot more movement on the team this year. It felt like there was constantly new guys joining and guys leaving, whereas last year it felt like a more steady roster. There was a couple of changes throughout the first year, but I know that I showed up to a lot of games and I thought, well, who's that guy? I don't think I've seen him before. And then he was around for two games and then we never saw him again.
There were several of those this year. It was interesting. There was some movement last year as well, but I think something that made it feel more stable is like you had guys that weren't two-way players that were like really steady in the starting lineup, I'm thinking specifically of, oh boy, my brain is failing me today. I'm gonna have to look up the roster because I'm losing my mind. But I'm thinking of who is it? The point guard and the center that were playing last year.
Antoine Davis.
Antoine Davis and oh my goodness. George Condit, Antoine Davis, and oh my goodness.
And Alex.
Alex Reese, who sounds like he's been getting some minutes in the NBA. That's kind of cool to see.
Yeah,
Ashton
that's a
Hagans, like those were all guys that played huge minutes and weren't even on two-way contracts, and this year we almost didn't really have like a traditional point guard, which was kind of a interesting move. And I'm actually really curious about that. I haven't really asked around about it. Obviously, they had Book Knight this year, who they kind of wanted to play some point guard, and then
Ajay did a lot of.
McGowan's, and they were really banking on him as well. And then he got injured, and that kind of threw that for a loop a little bit. So it kind of just some bad luck there, I guess, really. But it is interesting to me that the Remix had kind of like more traditional centers this year, which to my mind kind of mirrors the Blazers right now. We've got those centers. But then the point guard position was almost more like combo guards. I guess they don't really use that term a whole lot in the NBA anymore, but like CJ McCollum combo guards, whereas when I think about the Trailblazers, I think about Scoot, who is like almost a throwback point guard. So that's kind of interesting that they didn't go that route. And part of that could very well be because you had guys from last year that played great and were important, but then they went to China or they went to Spain or wherever, and guys
It's
have got to
fun.
live their lives.
It's fun to see where those guys end up. And we only had, I think, one player return this season. Was it one or two? Romeo came back.
Romeo was back. Alex Reese was back by the beginning, but at
Oh,
first he
yeah.
wasn't going to be. So it was kind of like up in the air. But I think that's the only returning players.
Yeah, so it feels like you have to start all over from
Tajay,
scratch.
I guess, but he was a two-way, so.
learn a whole lot of new people. Most of these guys you've never heard of before. And then, once you get about 10 games in or so, then you love them. And then they start moving people. And what's weird about the G League is you never know why they move people. So sometimes they trade them, which makes sense, but it's not always clear why.
For sure. Yeah. I know there were a couple guys this year that were on the team for somewhere, 1 to 3 games or something like that. And they like flew in and flew out just because it was the combination of like, this guy's injured, this guy's injured. Oh shoot, we only have 6 guys that can play the game. We literally need another body. Which is just an insane, like, that has to be such an insane way to live as a person that's trying to play professional basketball. I think one of those guys was Terrell Roberts. He played like, I can't remember how many games this year, a handful, and when I was talking to Gareth Kwok, he said he was talking about him, I think it was, and he was like, yeah, I go to the game to announce. And we have a new guy like that, so I have to, read a little bit about him. I get a little rundown on where he's been and how he got here and all that stuff. And then a couple weeks later, he might be gone, And it's just like a really wild, wild way to play basketball, But kudos to those guys, honestly, for like doing that and living that life,
Yeah, it must be really hard.
Yeah.
I also really ended up liking Craig Randall. I don't know
Yeah,
where
some
he came
great
from.
games.
He just came sort of at the end of the season
Yeah.
and was on fire and played really hard. And he seems like a really great guy. And it's kind of, where did he come from? Was he on
Yeah.
another G League team?
He was on another G League team like 2 or 3 years ago. He won the G League Most Improved Player. Can't remember what team he was on. And I did not remember this at all, but he was on the Blazers Summer League roster like th three or 4 years ago. So they had this, connection a little bit, which I have to imagine is so important for like any of those guys, whether you're like the, okay, I'll fly in and be on the team for 2 weeks or whatever. It's like you have some kind of connection, maybe someday 4 years down the road or whatever, like Craig Randall, it, makes sense again. And you have that tiny bit of a relationship or whatever, but yeah, he had a really good I don't know, second half of the season or whatever. He was excellent, and there were some of those games where I'll have to look up his stats, but like I would look at the box score and be like, he put up 14 threes? What?
He's kind of a quiet scorer.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that you don't, he's kind of quiet. He does his job. He does his job really well. But then you see his points total and oh, okay. I didn't realize
Yeah.
it was that kind of game.
Yeah, I'm just gonna look up his stats this year out of curiosity because he was pretty darn good. Let's see here.
I hope he comes back.
Yeah, he had an excellent season. Let's see here. Craig Randall. Okay. On the season for the remix. Let's see here. 21.3 points per game. 35% from three, 4.5 assists. Yeah. I mean, 22 a game. Where was he before this? He was in Iowa a couple seasons ago, and then he was in the Long Island Nets in 21-22. Interesting. He was playing 40 minutes a game for the Nets. They really, geez, in 27 games.
And I have to think that if you're not somebody who has reached the NBA level by that point, you must really, really love playing basketball.
Right. I mean, I think he's, I want to say he's 28, if I remember right. And so it's like, you're still a professional athlete, one of the best in the world. I don't care, what league you're in. If you're playing basketball professionally anywhere in the world, you're one of the best athletes in the world. And like, he's scoring 22 a night, you know? And here he is. He's coming on at, you know, halfway through the season, gonna hop right in both feet and like be the, you know, starting shooting guard most of the year.
Yeah, it one of the things about the remix too is that it has just illustrated how hard it is to be in the NBA because
Absolutely.
there are a lot of good basketball players in the G League. And you can tell that some of them just haven't made it to the NBA either because they're too small. I mean, we see a lot of small, really good basketball players in the G League. And then you see the aging players that, have had good careers and then they're at the end of their career still trying to hang on. And then you see like the Kevin Knoxes of the world who is a little too good for G League, not quite NBA. We want him to be NBA, but he needs the right situation kind of thing. And it just makes you realize how good NBA players are to even be in.
Yeah, I mean it's there's just such a variety of players you see through the course of the season, you know, whether it's like a guy, I'm trying to remember the player, I think it was last season, the Remix were playing someone and there was a guy on the other team, and I was like, didn't that guy, wasn't he in the NBA for like 12 years? You know what I mean? Yeah, he was. And then you see guys like Kevin Knox, Nasir Little, you know, guys that were kind of in and out of the NBA for kind of like a briefer window, and they're kind of maybe they got cut during training camp or whatever, and so they end up in the G League for a little bit. You see guys that are like, maybe you're just not quite there. Maybe you're a ways away. Maybe you're really young. Maybe you're on the, you know, kind of on the latter half of your career. Maybe you're a Dwap Wreath or a Jabari Walker who shows up for like two games or one game or whatever.
One game.
And you go, oh, okay, yes, that's why you're in the NBA. You know what I mean? It's just, you just see such a variety of skills like throughout the season. I mean, Jabari for me was such a big one this year. He played that one game, and I mean, I'm like a Jabari believer for sure. So
Me
I'm like
too.
a little biased because I'm a real Jabari believer since that summer league thing. But he plays that one game, and I'm like, oh my goodness, he's one. He's just like built like an NBA player. He's huge. He's enormous. And then he has a great game, and you're like, okay, this is so reassuring. Everything you feel like I'm sure he's working on throughout the season. You go to, you know, down to the G League for a minute, and you're like, yes, you see all those things, the rebounding, the shooting, it's all coming together. You know what I mean? You kind of have an excuse to show off a little bit.
Yeah, that game was really interesting. That was the game that Duop hit that 3-point shot to win the game. And so Duop, he got all the love, all the talk about that game, and he deserved that. But Jabari was really, really a force in that game as well. And it was really funny to see them both out there just hooping.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is the remix games are fun because it's just a smaller setting and you can hear everything that happens on the court. You know, when those guys fall, you hear how hard they fall. You can hear sometimes what they're saying on the court and some of the chippiness and them talking back to referees, especially if you ever sit courtside. I did that a couple of times this season. It's really fun, but you also kind of have to be aware and paying attention all the time because balls are flying, people are flying. Romeo chirps at everybody, and he is a smartass. He is a smartass to the refs, to the opposing players. You know, he'll say something to the people in the seats. Tajay Moore, very, very funny. He talks to the fans from the sideline. He's kind of making jokes all the time.
Okay.
Like even, there was when I was courtside, there was a situ there was a call that happened sort of right next to us, and he didn't like the call, and so he starts talking to the fan next to us very loudly, questioning the call in a very, very funny way. It was not disrespectful. It was super funny. Even the ref was laughing. And he kind of did that throughout the game. Like he was just, he's a performer.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the cool things for sure, just being such a small environment, there was a game this season where we were sitting in a different spot, and Kaylee started, just for fun, she was like joking around, she started booing the call that the ref made, and she was like, "Boo, boo! He didn't do anything wrong. You know that's not right." And the ref turned around, since we were so close, and looked at her and just started laughing. And you know what I mean? Because like the ref could tell that she was just joking around. She wasn't like actually mad. And it's I don't know. It's kind of those things that like are just unique to the league. And honestly, there were like some games this year where I was just like, yeah, it's just fun to watch basketball. Like, I don't even really care like about the specifics of this game or whatever. It's just fun to go to the gym, watch basketball, and have a good time. Like, that's so simple, but it's kind of just a fun little reminder of like, yeah, it's just cool to watch basketball. Basketball's fun. It's
And
cool.
it's fun to support those guys. I mean, after a full season, you really kind of buy into them, and it's, you really want them all to go somewhere, get a 10-day, maybe get a two-way, maybe make a summer league. It's you really want the best for these guys. So hopefully we will see some of, I hope Alex Reese is I think he's doing two-way, right? So he's with
Yes.
Danny's doing the Delaware G League, but I hope that maybe he gets minutes at the
Right.
end of the season when they're all injured. I think that is such good experience, even if they don't make the final roster. I just want the best for all those guys. So yeah, it's fun. And then when you get to take pictures with them, you build a little bit of, just you kind of know them a little bit better, and you can tell them things you like about their game or whatever. And most of them are really appreciative to hear anything nice from the fans. So I just that's been a really fun part of the season. And it's so easy. Those games are so easy. There's a parking lot. You don't have to worry about parking. Food is cheap. It's just an easy game. They're mostly around 2 hours, so you can kind of get in and out fairly quickly. Some of the games will go a little bit longer, but for the most part, it's not as big of an event as going to an NBA game where you have to factor in how are you going to get there, parking, long commercials, all of that kind of thing. So, I have found myself really enjoying them. Sometimes I enjoy them more at times. I renewed on my season tickets for next year. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, once again, just how different it is from year to year. Actually, now that I think about it, especially with City Sissoko, I wonder what
Oh,
their
yeah.
plans are for him. He kind of got injured at the end of the year, so I think he only played a few games. But it's that kind of thing that does kind of translate from year to year, is the two-way players and seeing what they will become and stuff like that. So maybe he would be someone next year that would be brought back.
He looked really good in, I think I only saw him play in one game, right after he got traded, and then they had him playing the next day, and he had a phenomenal game. I mean, he just came out hot. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I can see why they wanted him. And
He's got a
then he
couple
came here.
connections with players too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I'll be excited. And then the other interesting thing this year versus last year is we didn't have any rookies since Donovan Klingon was our only rookie and he played with the team. We did get to see Ryan Rupert come back the second half of the season. I kind of feel like maybe they should have had him with the
Yeah,
Remix all
me too.
season. I feel like he made improvements, but I still feel like he's not quite NBA ready. I'm hoping
Yeah.
maybe next year he'll make that leap.
Yeah, once it kind of became obvious that Chris Murray was, above him in the pecking order on the Blazers, I would have liked to see him on the Remix more, just 'cause when he did play, it was interesting. I think it's partially like we talked about how there was a less traditional point guard rotation going on the Remix. When he did play, his role was a little different than last year. Last season, he was like a little more heavy, shooting a lot of three pointers, if I remember right. A little more defined role, it seemed like, on the team. So I was kind of interested that they didn't really lean on him a little more this season, especially with like all the injuries. Maybe part of that is also just the schedule. There were less games this year where Blazers players were at the games. There was only a couple where like several Blazers were at the games.
There
And
was
some of that might have been travel schedule stuff, so.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was travel schedules, although the two long Blazer home stretches coincided with long Remix stretches. And during those two stretches, there was a lot of Blazers who were in attendance.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, the schedules were different this
Yeah.
year. Like they were traveling for longer periods of time and then they would be home for longer periods of time.
Yeah, it was kind of a
So
strange schedule.
yeah, if you ever want to go to a Remix game and hope to see some Trailblazers in attendance, it's where the games that the Blazers are not playing the same day and they're in town.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of games where there were a lot of Trailblazers. I mean, I was a little surprised even the game that Jeremy came out to because I never saw him go to any games
Yeah, I
last
don't
year.
think I did either.
Then we had Matisse Thybulle, who was there for like
He was a
six
huge fan.
straight games. He was everywhere. When he wasn't traveling with the team, it was like he came to one game, and I don't know if he just liked it, but when the team was traveling, he was there
He
for a
was having a
long
great
time.
time.
He was having a great time. That's just kind of fun because you kind of see them in a different light. You can see them chatting with people and just the smallness of that building. There was a time that I was walking around the arena and I ran into Joe Cronin and I was able to have a 5-minute conversation with him, and he was just the nicest human. He didn't act like a GM of the Portland Trail Blazers. He didn't have to stop and talk to me. He could have waved and walked on. But he was very generous with his time. He asked me my name. He wanted to know, how I like the games. Do I go often? I told him I'm a season ticket holder of both. And we just had a lovely conversation. And he seemed like somebody who was your neighbor that you see every once in a while, and they're the friendliest person. Last year, I ran into Mike Schmitz in the concessions line, and I had a nice conversation with him, and he was delightful as well. And so there's just something about the smallness of the Remix that, sometimes you're going to run into people and be able to have those conversations that you would never be able to have at a Blazer game.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty cool to, I enjoy just like as a fan running into those people, and like literally every person like that that I've chatted with, I'm like, not only did you get here because obviously you're good at what you do, but you're like a very solid person. That like even in just a 5-minute thing, you're like, yeah, you're like invested in this to a level of like chatting with some random person you don't know and like being seemingly genuine with them in a random conversation, you know?
Yeah, it makes me feel like a lot of those front office folks are good people and they enjoy the fans. And you can also see the front office folks. I mean, Andre Patterson's there frequently. Yeah. You know, their staff that is scouting is there frequently. And you can tell they all really like each other. You know, they all really engage with each other and they seem like a very friendly group, and you don't sense any tension or anything. So I just like being able to see it from a little bit different lens, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Well, let's see. One other thing I was thinking about talking about, and maybe we'll take this out, maybe we won't. I don't know. Should we talk about anything that we think that the G League could improve on? Is that worth talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's talk about that. So, what, now that we've both kind of been watching for like a couple seasons now, and obviously based on the rest of this conversation, we're pretty enamored with it, I guess. After a couple seasons, is there anything that you feel like maybe the G League could kind of like do differently or present differently?
Yes, it is still unclear to me. A, some of the rules. Mm-hmm. B, people coming and going. There just seems to be, there's not like they have a website, but it feels like it's not super clear exactly how the organization is
run. Sure.
It's, you know, like the NBA is a very well-oiled machine in terms of a business, and maybe that's just what it is because it's such a big money thing. But like, you know, when players are getting traded, you kind of know why they're getting traded, or and sometimes I don't think they're getting traded. I think sometimes, didn't we have a guy on the team who went to play in Europe or something, like a European league was starting? It would just kind of be nice to know that. I think,
right,
like you got that information, but and I'll give credit because we do have media. You know, Sean is at a lot of those games, Sean Hyken, and he writes about the G League from time to time, but they're just not getting as much media. And so you just don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. And some of it just seems very confusing to me. Like I'm still not clear on the tournament structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the tournament in the first part of the season, tournament in the second part of the season. I don't really know how playoffs work. We haven't made it to playoffs and maybe we'll get that experience soon, but there's just kind of all these unknowns about the G League that there's not like a place to go and get that information.
Right. It kind of sometimes feels like they're doing, they being the league, I guess, doing themselves a little bit of a disservice, and it almost feels like they're going like, well, since no one cares about this, we won't make it a big deal. And there's kind of a level to me of like, well, maybe no one cares because they don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, basketball fans are little freaks and like, we would probably like to know, you know what I mean? So like, little things like that, that I feel like they're doing themselves a disservice. The regular season versus the tip-off tournament, it used to be called the Winter Showcase, but now in some of the literature or whatever on the website, it still says Winter Showcase, but then the other place says tip-off tournament. You go to the stats page and you can look at a player, and I'm looking at it right now, you can sort their stats by preseason, which is like, we don't even have a preseason anymore. Why? There's no preseason now. I can sort their stats by preseason? There is none. Tip-off tournament, regular season, playoffs, or tip-off tournament plus regular season. just do, there's no, I can't imagine a scenario where I'm like, I need to see what they did in the tip-off tournament compared to the regular season. If you played in both, I don't care. It's, you know, it doesn't matter, let alone most people don't know what the tip-off tournament is. So I'm looking like if I was a, you know, casual NBA fan and I'm like, oh, Sidy Sissoko, you know, has been playing great for the Blazers. Wasn't he in the G League? Let me go see what the heck he was doing over there. Okay, what are his stats for the tip-off tournament? Just show me the stats. No one cares. And then like the playoff thing, like I don't think we wouldn't know because we've never made the playoffs, but like it's, you know, six seeds instead of eight make it to the playoffs, but the one and two seeds don't have to play in the first round. They get an automatic bypass into the second round. And it's like just it goes back to like I guess how you're like presenting the product, which is maybe my main gripe in general, which is like I think it's a relatively watchable product and most of the broadcasts are fairly good. There's a couple teams broadcasts when I watch them on YouTube that are pretty bad, so maybe there's something there, but the Remix is actually really good. Their broadcast is excellent. And that's not just bias. That's from watching several of the other teams and being like, you guys, this is like you shot it on an iPhone and you have one person doing all the commentary. So he just has to talk for, you know, 48 minutes. That's rough. But it's like some of the games, or they say, you know, oh, all the games are on YouTube. That's actually not true. They're not all on YouTube. Okay, well, this one is on. What is it? Tubi, I want to say, which is free. And so it's like, okay, that's cool. And then there will be, you know, 15% of the games throughout the season are on ESPN Plus. I don't subscribe to ESPN Plus. I have zero interest in subscribing to ESPN Plus. It's a paid service. I will never subscribe to ESPN Plus, just because basketball is the only sport I care about. The team I care the most about, I can watch for free over the air here, and even if I couldn't, NBA League Pass, I have that too. I'm not subscribing to ESPN Plus. Why are like 15% of the G League games on ESPN Plus? I'm sure it's some contractual obligation that they signed several years ago, but it's like, okay, don't say that all the games are free. They're not. They're, you know what I mean? And then it's just very confusing the way that it's kind of sold a little bit. It doesn't make any sense because I think people would enjoy watching. Especially now with two-way contracts, they would enjoy casually watching some games, and people do for the ones that are free. But just the way it's presented, league-wide is often confusing.
I
Team
agree.
specific is actually pretty good for the Remix. They do a good job, but league-wide, it's just very confusing. And that'll be interesting. I'm actually going to try to make more of a point to watch the G League playoffs this year. So I'm kind of interested what that is going to look like to see like. When are the games? Can I watch them all? You know, are any of them going to be on ESPN Plus?
When do they start?
I think it might have already started, actually.
It's really one of those things where I suspect that they kind of approach it as this is a development league. It's not a money-making thing for teams. It's really a development thing for players. But as they have tried to bring the G League into the All-Star game and trying to intermix with the
You can say they
NBA a
want to
little
do
bit
it.
more, it seems like if they could just elevate some of the basics. I'm not even asking like for a lot, but even when I hear Casey Holdall on his podcast when he's talking about some of the two-way players in the G League, he'll often say, well, and here's something I don't understand about the G League, and I can't find it on the website. And I feel like if Casey can't find it on the website, it's just not on the website. And it makes me feel better for not being somebody who just can't find it. But I think it would help them if they could bring the overall product up a little bit. The other thing, I do think our team does an extremely good job. I have nothing to compare it to, but the employees seem very excited. They do a lot of fan engagement stuff. They do a lot for kids. The photos afterwards, they do a lot of social media on IG. They finally got to Blue Sky. Thank you. We were asking, I was asking frequently. They're finally on Blue Sky. But what I would kind of like is a little informational page about the players.
That'd be
So
interesting, yeah.
not just they went to such and such college, which is usually they have a little link to the player. It shows what college they went to. It's very, very minimal stuff. I would kind of think it would be fun if they just had some fun facts about them, like, maybe some of their interests, how did they end up in the G League? Kind of what is their goals? And maybe that is something that will just come forward. I think our team could do that. They've done, I noticed this year they started doing a lot of those get to know you kind of things, like they do with the Trailblazers, where they'll hand them the mic and have a topic on Instagram. And that's fun to get to know the guys. But a lot of these guys, I just kind of want to know sort of a little bit more about them. Because these are also guys, unless they, went to the bigger colleges, you do an internet search and you're not finding a lot other than what college they went to. You're not getting a lot of interesting tidbits about them. So,
I
yeah,
spend
I
a
don't.
decent amount of time on like Eurobasketnews.xyz to try to find like, okay, I found a blurb on his Wikipedia that says he played here, but I can't find any actual information or whatever. Here's a strange European basketball website that says that he played, 35 games and was really good or whatever.
Yeah, and a lot of international players. So, there might be media stuff out there, but it's in a different language. It would just be fun if they had a page that kind of was a little more expansive. Maybe you got a little piece into their personality, maybe some of their information that pertains to basketball. I don't know. I would just kind of like to get to know them a little bit better. And but those are all things that can easily happen with growth. And it seems like the team really learned a lot of lessons from their inaugural season, which they put together really quickly. This year, they changed up some things. It seems like they really kind of got in their groove. And so we might be seeing more of that. I also, at the end of this season, they had one event where they brought the food trucks out on a
Oh, yeah.
weekend. And I kept putting that in my feedback as well.
Oh,
Like,
nice.
I think it's great to have food trucks out there when it's a Saturday or Sunday 3 o'clock game. Because there's a lot of area out there where you can sit and eat outside or you can take it inside, and it just gives you a little bit more variety than what they have to sell inside. So they brought them back a couple more times. So I'm hoping maybe we'll see more of that next year.
That would be great.
Yeah. That
Yeah.
was
S selfishly,
fun.
there were very few vegan food
Yeah.
options inside, so I would enjoy that just
Yeah.
personally, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's getting they're catching their groove. They're doing a good job. If any of the Remix people are listening, we love you and think you're doing a great job, and we're ready for next year. And just give us some little personal profile so we can get to know these guys on day one when they're there and you do an internet search. There's just often not a lot to find out about them.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be
Yeah.
awesome.
So,
And then let's see here. I guess as we kind of wrap up a little bit, where can people keep up with your basketball takes, I guess I'll say.
My takes, good or bad. I'm on Instagram and Blue Sky at Kat Renzer, CatRenzer. Blue Sky and Instagram. I quit Twitter, sadly, and I'm not a TikToker. I'm too old to be on TikTok. I have a question for you, though,
Sure.
before we finish. Who do you think comes back next year?
I'm gonna go non-two-way players. Who comes back?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Let's see. I think, this is one that I'm actually interested in. This is a really random one. They have on their roster, because they traded for him relatively recently, Devontae Graham. He never played
Oh.
this season. He was part of a trade several weeks ago or whatever. And the other guy part of the trade, Vincent Valerio Bodon, did play a handful of games. Devontae Graham didn't play a single game. He's probably, I don't know what he's doing. Who knows? But usually those guys aren't like listed on the roster,
Right.
if they got traded, but they have no intention of playing or whatever. So, and he was on the training camp roster for the Blazers last year. So I was thinking to myself, that's interesting. His name's there. He's like obviously not just okay, he got traded here. Well, we'll just cut him or whatever. That happens all the time. They didn't do that. So that makes me go, okay, interesting. They have this relationship with this guy for a whole season now, beginning and end. Maybe they bring him back for some reason. Seems kind of strange to me. He's 30 years old and he's been in the NBA and been around. But they, for whatever reason, traded for him and kept his name on the rosters. That makes me think something.
That is strange. I hadn't noticed that. What do we think happens with Tajay Moore? Do we think he will come
Yeah,
back?
I don't know. I mean, last I saw, he just posted on Instagram the other day a video of like him dancing around saying that's how he's going to be when he can play basketball again. So I guess he still is not really able to play, which is a bummer. I mean, it sounds like Mike Schmitz and company were pretty interested in him. Like they liked him as a player, but obviously they had a chance to sign Sidy Sissoko and he was injured. So it's like that's a
Yeah.
pretty understandable, business decision. So that'd be interesting. Maybe he, I would be kind of surprised personally if he's like on a two-way again.
Yeah, me too.
But that would be interesting now that I think about it. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about him.
I love Tajay. I don't think I've ever seen a basketball player anywhere play with such intensity and
I know, yeah.
determination as him. Like, I don't think you could think that he was playing in a game for the championship, like an NBA
Right.
championship, and he's on the remix floor, and
Yeah.
it's, we're in the second quarter, and that man is playing like there's no tomorrow. And I really, really, really want him to get his chance somewhere because he's a good basketball player.
Yeah. He really is. And like, I think he played a couple games for the Blazers last season, right? And even then, he actually had like a highlight dunk in the whatever 2 games that he played, or three, or I don't remember. Yeah, he's an interesting player. I wish that he hadn't gotten injured because I think that like him playing point guard was a really interesting experiment that could have played out pretty differently if it had been able to maybe have a longer runway there during the season. Because he's like, he's kind of like a, oh, this sounds insane to say. I was gonna say like a Jokic player in that like he's kind of willing to make more like gambly plays. You know what I mean? Obviously, that's not Jokic only. I'm just thinking of any player that kind of is willing to take a gamble, I guess, rather than play it safe. And him being kind of like this high flying swingman that it was gonna play point guard. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I like the gamble. And if you're going to take a gamble, this is the place to do it, so it would be cool to see him back just because he's cool.
He's a fun player to
Yeah.
watch. And I just His intensity is sometimes to his detriment and sometimes, all the difference. But you can tell that that man loves basketball. He is going to compete at the highest level he can possibly give you, regardless of what kind of game it is. And I would like to see him get his shot somewhere. So, I was thinking, I wonder, since we have some connections, whether he might come back to the remix and then hope to get taken on a two-way by a team or something. But and that's also something I don't understand, like the rights of G League teams, and then if they get called up to a two-way, how that works. I just don't understand it, and there's not an easy way to figure it out.
I was trying to like I literally made a spreadsheet last season and like was trying to keep track as players were traded or cut or whatever. I had to stop because it was like so there's one, so much change during the season, and two, it was really unclear, like, okay, this guy was traded and then he went to this team, but now he's back with this team because they had his rights. What? And so I just had to stop because it made no sense to me.
It's confusing. And maybe part of it is I think the remix was posting on Twitter, sometimes when those changes would happen. And because I wasn't on there, I missed some of that
For
stuff. But
sure.
it would be nice to get just a little. I mean, they can't always give information, but like the guy is going to play in EuroLeague that starts soon. That seems like something you could tell fans. Hey, he's got another job to go to, and he was here temporarily to fill in. It feels like for some of these guys, the G League is a fill-in place to stay playing basketball while you're waiting for EuroLeague to start, or any of these leagues in other countries that have different timetables than ours. So, that's great for them. It would just be nice to kind of know.
Like, actually, let's go look here. Let's see what Henry Drell did recently. Okay. Henry
Henry
Drell.
was great too. He was very
He's playing in
entertaining.
Spain now.
Okay.
Let's see. He had 3 rebounds the other day in 6 minutes. I know the other, a few days ago, he had like quite a nice game. On the 25th, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists in a win. He's out there.
Good for him.
Yeah, it would be cool to like when Henry Drell goes to Spain 75% of the way through the season. Congrats to Henry Drell. He's, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the announcers could tell us. I don't know. It's such a hodgepodge
It
of,
really is.
oh, we've had changes. Don't know what happened, but here we are. We've got new guys. So anyway, I think that's kind of, the only bit of feedback, but it makes it kind of fun too. You never know what you're gonna get. You kind of walk in and you get what you get. But I think overall, it's good entertainment for the money, and the people that go there really enjoy going to games. There's a lot of kids there, and they've done a good job of having activities for kids to do. So if they get bored with the basketball, they can go run around. It feels like a very good family activity, especially as things get more expensive everywhere else.
Yeah, for real. Awesome. Well, cool. Thanks for coming and chatting Remix Basketball with me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was really fun, and I can't wait till next season.
Yeah, it'll be great.
As always, thank you for listening to Kenny's G League. Really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed this chat with Catherine. Go ahead and give her a follow on Blue Sky to keep up with what she's thinking about the Trailblazers and the remix. Thanks for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode of Kenny's G League.